Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your creation, to be surrounded not by distraction and stuff that we've made, but sometimes to be distracted by the stuff that you've made. And Father, we thank you for that opportunity to gather as your people, to be here to worship you, and to have the chance to hear about the work that you've been doing in folks' lives, and to have them commit to following you through baptism. And so, Father, we ask that you continue to bless this day. We thank you already for the weather that you've given us. And we give you our praise. We give you our honor as we worship you. In all this, we pray in your name. Amen. Amen. This morning, I'm not going to talk for a really long time. This is a different type of service, if you haven't figured that out already. But we're going to do a couple things. We are going to read through the text that we've been marching through in the Gospel of Matthew. And so we're going to read the next text. We're going to talk some about that. And then we're going to frame it in the context of baptism and what it is that we're accomplishing this morning through baptism. And then we're going to have the opportunity to hear from a whole bunch of folks that are going to be baptized, that are going to walk down to the river right over there, and we're going to go into the water, and they are going to be baptized, which is a powerful testimony to what we believe the gospel is all about, to what we believe that happens when Jesus comes into the world and we choose to follow him, the new life that we have in Christ. And in that process, I'm also going to give you the chance, if you notice, this is the third Sunday out of the month, the second to last Sunday in the month, the one that we often give you an opportunity to share what God's up to in your life. And so I tell you that because we're also going to give you a chance to share if there's something particular that God has been doing in you this year. And so be ready for that if God is leading you. And then we're going to give you the opportunity, too, that if you haven't already told us you want to be baptized, but you've been thinking about it, and God's been stirring in you, and you're starting to feel a little restless in your seat, even though you're not dressed or ready for it, if you're ready to make that commitment, we would love for you to make that choice even this morning. So let's begin by looking at Matthew chapter 27. And if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. We don't have a screen, so just imagine it is here, or just listen. So Matthew chapter 27 is the next text we're looking at. It says, starting in verse 1, early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord had commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "Let his blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. So about a year and a half ago when I was putting this series together, as we imagined that we were going to march through the Gospel of Matthew, I put it all on a calendar, and we knew when this service was going to come, and it seemed quite odd that here we are celebrating new life, that we're talking about baptism, and these awesome stories of what God has been doing in people's life, yet the text we're going to read is right before Jesus is crucified, when he's condemned. I've said it during messages before, but I grew up Catholic, and in the Catholic liturgy, when this text is read, particularly during Passion Week, there's this give and take between the congregation and the priest, where the congregation itself responds in the way the crowd did when Jesus is condemned. And so there's a point in that liturgy when us, the people of God, gathered, sitting in the seats, call out, "Crucify him." And we have to say it over and over again, because when we place ourselves in this text, we're the ones yelling, "Crucify him," in the text. We're the crowd. And so here we are outside in God's creation talking about new life, and here we are at this text. And I could have changed it, and I could have rearranged the schedule so that we got to talk about the resurrection on this day, but I think there's an important point to make by talking about the days leading up to Jesus' crucifixion as we talk about new life. And perhaps Paul makes it most clear to us in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, Paul is talking about what this death looks like to us. He's making it clear that for us to understand new life in Christ, we often have to understand what it means to die to Christ. So in chapter 6, verse 2, this is what Paul writes. He writes, "We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." The story that we proclaim as followers of Jesus is that we have died with Christ. That we must die with Christ. In baptism, as we go to the river, what's going to happen is that those that are being baptized, we will literally take them into the water. They will literally completely go underwater. They'll be completely submerged as a symbol to us. Quite literally, that they are dying, dying in Christ, dying to their old way of life, dying to their sinfulness. And then we will not leave them under the water. That would be really bad. That's not the goal. We will not leave them under the water, but we will raise them up out of the water. The water, a symbol of cleansing, of washing. One of the songs that we sing that will be white as snow. Purified, made new in Christ. That is the resurrection by which Christ achieves victory for us. But death is a part of that. To get new life, to be born anew in Christ, the death must come. The acknowledgement of brokenness, the acknowledgement of our sin, our separation from God. One of the reasons that in my call, my story, I became a pastor is this. Days like this. I'm not interested in running an organization. I'm not interested in running a church. I'm not interested in a title. My call to becoming a pastor is that I believed with every ounce of my being in a story, a piece of history by which God desired for his people to be rescued. I saw all around me a broken world and broken people and broken stories and people that felt lost in this world, as if this world had no meaning at all. And I had come to believe a piece of history that God loved us so deeply that he came to us. That Jesus Christ came to us as our rescuer. to rescue us from a broken world, to rescue me from myself and my sinfulness. And I believe I was called to share that story of rescue with other people and to participate in their lives, to watch as Jesus transforms them into new people, people that are alive in Christ and want to go and share the same history with other people. And so this is why I feel called to be a pastor. This is why I feel called to serve you as the people of God, because we have a story to tell. And so people are going to come up and they're going to share their story. Some of them are going to be about this tall and others are going to be adults. But every single one of them, and many of us, have been impacted too by this story, this piece of history of how Jesus Christ came into our world, and upon Him, He took all of our brokenness and all of our sin, and He took that upon Himself onto that cross so that we might be born to new life. So this is what we testify to this morning. Just in the last few years that Riverside has been doing this, we've already done somewhere in the area of 50 baptisms just since we've been doing this service. There's not that many of us. It's an amazing testimony to the work that God continues to do through the life of Riverside. And our dream and our hope is that work will continue, that it will move forward throughout Tippecanoe County, and that more and more people through us will hear this story of Jesus and will choose to follow Him as Lord as well. And so this morning, there's certainly going to be several people that we're going to invite up that will be baptized. But as we begin, I want to give you a chance in our tradition that we've developed here recently in the last year to have a chance during this service to share something that God's been up to in your life with all of us as a people. And I realize the context is different. It's going to be a little scarier, but there is a mic up here, and I would love for people to come up and share if they felt comfortable doing that, even if you don't feel comfortable, if you're willing to do that in obedience. And then also, we have a mic that we can bring to you as well. So it takes a first person, but I'm just going to quit talking, and someone's going to have to raise their hand, and we'll bring you a mic. You have something you want to share? You get to share a little bit too. Okay. Huh? Do you want to wait to share in a second? Yeah.
This is on. God has really been working in our family a lot. We've traveled all summer, and so it's good to be back home with family here. But starting even several years ago, God started putting on our hearts just these little inklings of what to do with the education for our kids. And it grew and grew and grew, and God finally just really, really spoke deeply to both Matt and I. And we have embarked in homeschooling the twins this year, and God has just been so good to just work out all the details, and He is with us every single day of our school, and we are so very blessed that God is working in our home every day as we go to educate the kids now.
Oh, you're so shy when we're outside.
My name's Wanda Owen, and it's been a really, really rough year. As many of you know, a year ago, our son Deleuze was diagnosed with post-concussion syndrome and was home from school all fall, and it was through your prayers that he's come through that. I mean, he's still in the process, but he's going to start college this Friday at Taylor University, and just would covet your prayers to continue as he makes that adjustment. went through that last fall, and then my mother was here, as many of you know. She was 93 and in the hospital here, and then I cared for her at home before she went back to Illinois. And I just had a lot of just sleep deprivation and anxiety and stress. And then this spring, we had a little challenge with our junior high schooler. And through all that, God's just been so, so faithful. And the prayers of many of you, you know who you are, have been just helpful. And, you know, if I know in my weakness, God is made strong. And I've been really, really weak, and I haven't been faithful to him a lot. And I'm hoping as we send off our oldest son, Grant, today, he's on his way to Taylor. He's going to leave for Ireland for a four-month study abroad. And so it's a big change in our family. We're going to have an only child at home, and it's been 20 years since this one here was my only child. And I'm kind of looking forward to it, actually. But it's just a lot of change, and it's been a really, really tough year, and I'm just hoping to get involved in the church this fall and really get back into where God wants me to be. And thank you for your prayers, and if you'll just continue praying for the Owen family, we appreciate it. But God's been good and faithful, and you'll hear through Elena's testimony today how great he's been.
And I'm Chris Owen, and I just wanted to just share with you how proud I am of Elena, who's going to be talking in a minute here, and what a blessing she's been.
Does anybody else have anything they want to share about what God's been up to in their lives?
I don't want to, but God told me to, so I'm going to be obedient. I'm Katrina Elliott, and I just want to praise the Lord for how trustworthy he continues to prove himself to our family through a series of continual unknown events that we just keep getting faced with. The Lord is bringing me to a place of trust that I never thought I would be in. And like a year ago today, I counted trust as a cuss word. And today I stand in trust, and I love that I can trust our Maker with all of the unknown stuff that's going on in our life. And that I can stand in his trust today where he has us, and just once again, trust that he's taking us where he's taking us for a reason, and that he will take us where he wants to take us if we just go for the ride. And so I just want to praise God for his trustworthiness. And once again, ask that you guys continue to pray for our family as we hang on trust.
Okay, I'd like to invite Amanda Miller and Lauren and her family forward. We have several baptisms, but we also have the awesome privilege to have a child dedication this morning as well. And so Lauren Miller is going to be dedicated to God this morning with her family. It's awesome. I love your hair, Lauren. So we have a lot of Lauren's family with us today. As many of you know, we lost Lauren's dad, Aaron, a while ago now. And so we know he was a faithful man of God and an intimate part of our community. And so we know that he very much would feel joyous in this day, too, in dedicating Lauren. So in dedication, this really is an opportunity for us to acknowledge before God that we have the opportunity to receive salvation even before we're able to make decisions. And that in dedication, it's an opportunity for a parent to say to God, this child is yours. I trust you with this child. And I will do everything within my power to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about God's love, and to prepare them for a day when they will make a commitment to follow Jesus. And so our prayer and dedication is that one day, here in a few years, Lauren's going to be a little taller, and she's going to be again up here, and she's going to share her testimony about how she follows Jesus, and then she's going to be baptized in the river as well. And so in dedication, we have the opportunity to hear that commitment. And so Lauren is a special, really special today because she gets to have all her grandparents up here as well. And great-grandparent, that's right. So a powerful testimony to what God is doing. And so I'm going to read a couple scriptures, and then we're going to have the opportunity for all of them to make a commitment before God together in supporting Lauren. So here's Psalm 100. It says, know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. And so today we come to rejoice with Amanda in the gift of this child, Lauren, and to give thanks to God, the giver of life and the source of all blessing, because Jesus invites children to come to Him. We bring Lauren to our Savior, praying for Jesus' blessing as a sign of the kingdom of God. This is our biblical call for dedication. It comes from Mark chapter 10. It says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. And so now we ask the family of Lauren to make a commitment to her this morning. And then after they make a commitment, I'm going to ask you again as the congregation, the people of God, to make a commitment to support them as well. So will you, as the family of Lauren, by God's help, dedicate yourselves to the Christian nurture of this child and bring her up in the worship and teaching of the church, that she may come to know Christ the Savior, be baptized, and follow Him as Lord. If so, respond, we will.
We will.
Amen. And now all of you, the congregation, the people of God, if you agree, please respond, we will. Will you, as members of Riverside Covenant Church, dedicate yourselves to be faithful to your calling as members of the body of Christ, so that this child and all other children among us may grow up in the knowledge and love of Christ our Savior? If so, respond, we will. Amen. Lauren, because Jesus said, let the little children come to Me, for theirs is the kingdom of God, we present you to God in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Let's pray together for this family, and then you can clap. Gracious God, we thank You for the testimony of faith that this family has been. I thank You for Amanda's faithfulness and her desire to follow You with full abandon in worship, in obedience, in praise and honor. And Father, we're grateful that Lauren has the opportunity to be in a family of faith, to be in a family that knows what it looks like to follow You both as Savior and Lord. And so we lift her up to You, Father. We ask Your protection upon her. We ask that as she begins to ask questions about who You are, and she begins to question what she believes, that, Father, in that space there will be grace, there will be understanding, that there will be an experience, a powerful experience of Your Spirit by which she will understand Your love for her. And she will truly choose to follow You as both her Savior and Lord. Father, we lift this family up to You, and we ask that You give them perseverance and peace and wisdom in the years to come. In all this we pray in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now you can clap. And then Amanda's going to stay up here with us. Amanda's going to stay up here with us. And then I'd like everyone else that's going to be baptized this morning to come on up as well. And let's just form a line right over here. And at this time, let me reemphasize, if you have been shifting around in your seat because you felt God calling you to take this next step of faith. Even though you're not dressed for the occasion, it would be awesome if you would respond to that and come on up. There's a long line, so you'll have plenty of time to do so. All right. This is the call that we have for baptism. Baptism is different than dedication. In baptism, these folks are making a commitment. Some of them have made a commitment long ago, but they're responding to the command of Jesus to be baptized. So hear this call. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as God called and chose His servant people Israel and made covenant with them, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people. So in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant to all of us. Through His birth, life, death, and resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I am yours and the people you have given me. Today we come to claim the promises of that new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a visible sign of covenant making. Our washing with water by the Word, our habitat in Christ crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, our solidarity with those whom He is in solidarity, and our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name. And our commissioning from God's Word comes from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. It says, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this is what we come to do this morning. And so each of those folks that are going to be baptized are going to give an opportunity to share a piece of their testimony with us about what Jesus has been up to and why they're choosing to be baptized this morning. And so if it's okay, we'll start over here and you guys can start us off. If you would just state your name and then go ahead and share. Yeah, you arm wrestle for it. And then come right up to this mic so that everybody can hear you. I don't need these, sorry. There you go.
I'm really nervous, so bear with me. My name is Carol Tolley, and I'm so honored to be here, and so blessed to be here. I grew up in the church, but after moving away from home, I found that I had ran far away from it. One Wednesday evening 4 years ago, I found myself totally broken and longing for peace. I knew there was only one place to find that peace. I drove to the nearest church, went into the service, and sat in the back sobbing, thinking I could not possibly be forgiven for all the things that I had done in my life. At the end of the service, I went to the altar. I accepted the Lord into my heart and soul, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me of my sin. Words cannot explain the sense of peace and calm that came over me immediately after struggling for so many years. As the song says, I am redeemed. You set me free. Thank you.
My name is Amanda Miller. We met earlier, just a bit ago. So, last year, I was one of those people sitting out at the church service after Dan said, hey, does anybody else, you know, want to be baptized today? I know you're not, you know, in like the appropriate clothing and everything, but, and inside I thought, well, yes, but I think that I have too much fear. For one, you know, like I do not have like a towel and the Wabash is, well, it's a bit murky, we know that. And then I thought, well, people might think that, oh, she just became a Christian. Wow, I thought that she had been one for a while now. So I think that sometimes fear can be a driving force for a lot of us, and it certainly can for me. over the last year and a half, 2 years, maybe even longer, God has really taken me through quite a journey, and so somebody earlier was talking about just being really weak and finding strength in the Lord. And I feel like I've been so weak, and that I know the only source of that strength, any strength that I had, was coming from Him, because I don't know, my whole world changed. And everything that I thought to be true was not. And so I feel like my relationship with the Lord has just grown exponentially. I grew up going to church. I mean, I was baptized as an infant, and believing in Christ has always been important to me. But just the transition to becoming more refined is what I've been experiencing for a little while now. And by no means is He done. He's never done with us. But this baptism as a symbol of new life and new birth, I think is pretty essential for me to do right now. And so I'm just thankful for the opportunity that our church does this. And even if it's in the Wabash, like, it's great. I think it's awesome. And so I'm just really fortunate and glad to have this opportunity to be able to do this with all of you here. And also with everybody else that's making this decision today too. So thank you.
Nice try, Elena.
Hello, I'm Elena Owen, and I'm a senior at Harrison. I remember accepting Jesus into my heart when I was 7. I've grown up in a strong Christian home and always been involved with church. It wasn't until high school when God had my faith face harder challenges. I was in a few relationships that brought me down, and the harsh rejections led me into depression. Thinking it would help me, I became a little rebellious. I tried drinking alcohol, tried smoking, and tried pot. It didn't last long at all. My friends and family found out, and I knew I had hurt them. I let myself and everyone else down. That wasn't who I was, and my actions weren't glorifying to God. Eventually, I became angry with myself and my past. I would take it out on my family and distance myself from friends. Every year in the summer, I go to an athletic Christian camp called Kanakuk. This summer at camp, I remembered praying to God, repenting, and asking for His forgiveness. Most importantly, I gave up all my anger and laid it down on the cross. Since then, God has been calling me to get baptized. The reasons I also want to be baptized are because it is another step of my walk with Christ, and I want people to know that I desire to be a Christ-like figure to those around me. Thank you.
All right. Hi, my name's Shelby Mann. I'm a senior at Westside, and my parents left me the decision when they didn't baptize me when I was a baby. They left me the decision whenever I felt like I was being called to do that, I would do it. And every year when Becky would tell us about the baptism service, I thought, oh, that'd be really interesting. And it wasn't until this year that I felt like the Lord really called upon me to do that and take it up and go out there and get baptized. And so I've been pondering the past, 3 weeks what I wanted to say, how I said it. And I realized that as long as my intentions were good and my heart was pure and I loved Jesus, that it didn't really matter what I said as long as I was doing it with a good heart. And so that's why I want to get baptized today. And so, let's go.
Hi, I'm Shane Mann. I'm an 8th grader at Westside. And I've gone on lots of trips with the youth group, and each of those trips have influenced my faith. And I think that being baptized would be the next step in influencing my faith. So that's why I want to be baptized.
I'm going to be baptized because I want the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart.
I'm being baptized today because I decided to follow God. I have asked God to be my forever friend. I am doing this because I feel the need to get baptized. Thank you. I am going to be baptized because I'm following in the footsteps of Jesus, and God has told me that it is time to get baptized. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nathan Fosnot. I'm a fourth grader at Battleground. I'm being baptized today because I've done lots of things bad in my life. Well, yeah. And I thought it would be better doing it now while I'm 9 instead of waiting until I'm around 45. Thank you.
We're now going to give each of them an opportunity together as a group to affirm their faith before all of us. And so as a part of baptism, we have several affirmations that they'll make. So I'm going to ask them a series of questions, and then they're going to respond if they agree. And you can respond, "I do," if you agree with these statements. And then we'll also have an opportunity for all of us together to respond to them as well. Do you now desire to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? If so, respond, "I do." Proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all the powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel? Do you repent of your sins, confessing Christ as your Savior and Lord, and living as His faithful disciple? Will you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer? Empowered by the Holy Spirit, will you do all in your power to participate fully in the life of Riverside Covenant Church, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Again, these commitments require all of us as the people of God to encourage one another, and so I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to them as well. The Christian nurture of all these folks cannot be assumed without you. We are members of the body of Christ. We support them. Do you promise to uphold and support them in their life in Christ? If so, respond, "With God's help, we will."
With God's help, we will.
Amen. Let me pray for them and all of us together. And then the worship team, the music team is going to come back up here. And we're going to sing as we walk to the river to have some baptism. So let's all pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for these stories, both small and large, from young folks and older folks, that all of these stories are stories to a bigger story of which we're all a part of. The story of your love, the story of an acknowledgement of our own brokenness and our sinfulness, how broken we really are and how far from you we are, and the story of how you, out of your love, brought us Jesus, came to us as Jesus Christ, and that you, through Jesus, gave up your life for us and took upon that cross all of that brokenness, all of that sinfulness, so that we may be born to new life, born again. And Father, we thank you for these stories. We thank you for these commitments. We thank you for your sacrifice and your love for us. And we all, whether we're being baptized this morning or not, all of us commit our lives to you, to following you, to understanding you more deeply, to looking more like Christ every day of our lives. Father, we rejoice in this truth. And as we go to the river, may this moment be etched in their hearts and their minds for the rest of their lives as a moment by which they lived out your gospel, by a moment which they understood what it means to die to you and to be born again in and through you. Father, we rejoice in this truth and we praise and honor you in all that we are. In all this we pray in your name. Amen.